The 100 Years' War, Crecy period. New taxes for France, 1346. Or shall we say, new attempts at taxes in 1346. At the end of 1345, the French government of King Philip VI, pretty much chastened by the constant flow of bad news from the southwest part of France, resolved upon a radical reform of the French tax system. Now, this is a delicate and difficult task when times are good, let alone when impending military crisis and grave political disaffection is taking place. The king decided to call the Estates General. Now, this is kind of a last resort. It's only done a few times in French history, and most of the time, the only one that most people remember is the one called by Louis XVI. Now, a brief explanation of this. It's an emergency parliament, is what it basically is. You know, when Edward had problems in England, the parliament would meet, and he could present his questions before the parliament and ask, and then they would vote to determine what he could and would get. In France, when the king calls the Estates General, what you have is each of the districts or provinces then elect representatives representing each of the three estates. The first estate, which is the clergy, the second estate, which are the nobles, and the third estate, which is everybody else. And it's important to understand that it's everybody else. It's not just the peasants. They usually have equal representation, but if you think that there's 300 people that are representing the first estate of the clergy, and they only represent about 1% of the population, and the same number for the nobles, which represent anywhere from 3 to 4% of the population, and then the other 300 from the rest of the millions of Frenchmen. That's kind of a tough thing. The other part of that is that the voting is not done by individual. You have three votes in an estate general. Each estate has a vote. First estate, second estate, and third estate. Generally speaking, the first and second estate cooperate. Therefore, it's almost impossible for the third estate to get anything pushed through. So that's the issue. Now, in this case, it's a little different. It was not a general estates general. In other words, where every representation, every area of France would then send representatives to one location. There was one called for the southwest part, and I should say the north and the central, and that group would meet in Paris, and then the others, which are in the Languedoc region, the southwest, would then meet at Toulouse. So there's actually two presentations, and there's two attempts to get some changes at this particular point. Now, in the one of 1789, the French king did not have a plan. He was simply hoping that the estates would bring plans and that they would work together. That's not what happens here. No one was given any idea what it was going to be about, but the government did present a tax program, and they wanted the estates to vote on it. So that's what we'll be looking at. There are times when the Estates General is called that representatives are required to bring letters de cashiers, which is basically a list of grievances with the government. And when you do that, you're also required to bring a list of solutions, so it doesn't just break down into a complaint section. So that's basically what the Estates General is. It can be just simply disbanded by the king whenever he wants to, if he doesn't like the way it turns out. Okay, so that's what it is. Now, when it met, as I said, there would be two great assemblies in 1346. Members of the north and the central part of France would meet in Paris, and those in the Languedoc area would meet in Toulouse. But the summons's tone, unfortunately, betrayed the king's misgivings, being a very defensive summons. The king had heard that his subjects considered themselves badly oppressed by the burden of taxation, which they had been asked to bear, as well as by the harsh methods that the numberless provosts, sergeants, and commissioners and tax farmers Philip VI had employed to collect those taxes did. Basically, the same thing happened in England. I mean, the English people were at the point of revolt at one point. So the French are reaching that point. Now, the Paris Assembly has opened on the 1st in the Great Hall of the Augustinian Friars on the left bank of the Seine. And it lasted a week. There was not a single account of this that actually survives, but we are pretty clear as understanding what happened based on what took place in the South. The government was aware that there is widespread fear that the sales tax and the Gabelle de Sel tax, the salt tax, which had started out as temporary, would become permanent. The government offered to abolish both taxes and replace them with a uniform tax directly related to the king's military needs. First of all, each community would be assessed to furnish the cost of a fixed number of men-at-arms for up to 6 months to a year for the war's duration. Now, the war is going to go on more than 100 years, and they're just at 1345, so there's 80-some years to go. Of course, no one's aware of that at this point. The other thing, the French formula, the government's formula that was put forth, was one man-at-arms could be paid for by every 200 hearths, so families to some extent. And if you were in a poor community, that would be one man-at-arms for every 300 hearths. In addition, Philip's ministers promised a number of administrative reforms to abolish tax farming. That's where you would buy the rights to collect the taxes and then collect a fee from the taxes, restrain the excesses of financial officials, and limit the requisitioning of carts and food, which was just as unpopular in England as it was in France. Now, these were incredibly intelligent and attractive proposals, which seemed to be well received by the three estates. The problem was there had been no preliminary discussion with the estates before the assembly opened. Either the government proposals had been devised just immediately before the assembly, or they were created during the course of the first discussions. At any rate, the representatives had to return to consult with their constituents, so no final answer could be given until the various local rounds of assemblies had met, province by province, during the spring and early summer of 1346. Then, if anything happened, there would be more delays, because then, if they agreed, you'd have to assess everything, and then you'd have to do the collection organization. But there were just wasn't time to do all of this, because the whole north and central part of France, because it meant that it was understood that the Gabelle and the sales tax would continue in its form, no matter how inadequate their yield or how difficult it would be collected, because the king still needed money. Now, the Languedoc Assembly was more cautious. We have to remember that this area of France had a long tradition of obstruction and rebellion against government taxes. The Assembly in Toulouse met February the 17th, 1346, under the leadership of the Bishop of Beauvais. They agreed to grant a hearth tax of 10 sous per hearth. Unfortunately, the government believed it needed 27 sous per hearth throughout the kingdom in order to finance an army of 20,000 to 30,000 men. Plus, the 10 sous would then be payable in installments, one-third in April, one-third in May, and one-third in June. Unfortunately, that's well after the opening of spring campaigning. After much discussion, another 10 sous per hearth was granted. So they got 20 instead of 27. But that other part wouldn't be payable till July. Now, these taxes narrowed but did not close the king's gap between income and expenditures. The main problem, which was not solved, was that the heaviest concentration of military expenditures occurred in the weeks before a campaign began, as well as its opening, when equipment and stores had to be bought and advances paid to the troops. And this was particularly heavy in 1346 because Philip VI had planned an ambitious campaign and it was already in its advanced stages. So by the time they collect the money, the fighting is already taking place. Now, the only real method of fixing this would have been just not had a campaign in 1346, collected the money, and then do it in 1347. Unfortunately, since you have an adversary who's probably going to attack you, you can't do that. So it was well-intentioned, and they did eventually get some money from the people. It was just not quite enough and not quite at the right time. But it's an interesting view of the Estates General that's different from what you normally know of the French Revolution one. Now, the sources for this, 100 Years War by Nylands, the 100 Years War by Perrois, and the 100 Years War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us, perhaps even give us a donation monthly, which would really help. Even a dollar really helps, so thank you very much.